So we asked the question earlier this morning, whither Obama, thinking about the midterm elections and the very likely prospect that the GOP is going to make some gains and the Democrats are going to experience some setbacks in the midterm elections, really about 3 weeks away. But we could also ask the question, whither the Tea Party, which has dominated the headlines throughout the campaign, and which on this program last week, Newt Gingrich, speaking of the 1994 Republican Revolution, referred to as a relatively disorganized movement across the United States, the gains of which are unclear and the precise stand of which might be even less clear. Well, to help us with where the Tea Party stands right now, poised on the prospects of some electoral successes, Matt Kibbe joins us. He's the president of a group called Freedom Works, which has been tapping the energy of the Tea Party. He's also co-author of a book called Give Us Liberty, a Tea Party Manifesto. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
What would you say is the intellectual underpinnings or coherent manifesto of the Tea Party if we were to draw a line connecting all of the various dots?
I think the Tea Party is very explicitly a rediscovery of the founding principles of this nation, the idea that we are built on individual freedom, government restraint, and the idea that within the framework of a limited government, we should all be free to pursue opportunities and dreams without the intrusion of some third party telling us what to do.
And in terms of the ideology of the Tea Party, are there figures that stand out? We've talked about Ayn Rand on this program and her speaking of sort of the philosopher king and the powerful man rule of history and the idea of absolute libertarian freedom. What else is on the reading list?
I think you can go back and look at other things that they're reading as well. First of all, they all read the Constitution, something that we wish that all members of Congress would take more time to do. They are reading the founders, Jefferson, Washington, Franklin, and the common sense wisdom that you find there. And they're reading economists like Frederick Bastiat, Milton Friedman, and even Frederick Hayek.
Well, tell us about Hayek.
Well, Hayek, and it's interesting, Hayek had this notion that the free market was a process of discovery where disparate individuals all throughout society had what he called personal knowledge. And through this voluntary coordination of the market process, you produce something much bigger than any individual could accomplish on their own. And his critique of government was that without that process, you couldn't possibly supplant this voluntary coordination of individual knowledge with some really smart bureaucrat at the top of a hierarchy guessing better what it is that prices should be, what it is that consumers want. And it's very analogous to the free market organization of the Tea Party, which is, I would say, a spontaneous order. It's not disorganized. It's just decentralized.
But the irony there is, of course, the economy's failure and meltdown is precisely because market principles went very much awry, and it wasn't so much the government that produced the meltdown. It was some of the market forces that were left unchecked.
Well, I think Tea Partiers would disagree with that fundamentally, because with individual freedom becomes individual responsibility. And the roots of the Tea Party are frustration out of the bailouts and the unwillingness of the government to let bad actors fail, whether it be Wall Street firms or individuals that lied on their mortgages. And I think that the frustration that you're seeing really bubbled up long before President Obama took office. And you have to let the market process work. And you saw this, what we would call crony capitalism, between chairmen of the Financial Services Committee, guys like Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, gaming the rules in favor of bad actors that eventually brought the housing market to its knees.
Now, you've used two Democrat names there, but that's a bipartisan sort of phenomenon, gaming the system in Washington, wouldn't you say?
Well, there's two main culprits in the financial crisis, and one was this aggressive bias towards home ownership, no matter one's ability to purchase a home, and that was very much driven by the Democrats. The Republicans tried to fix Fannie and Freddie. They tried to fix some of these housing corruptions in the market. The other half is a very bipartisan problem, which is the bipartisan tendency to jawbone the Fed to create easy money. And it was that easy money starting post 9/11 that really drove the mania. And this goes back to the Austrian economics that the folks are reading in the Tea Party.
Matt Kibbe, president of FreedomWorks, how do you distinguish between an opportunistic politician who's joined the Tea Party, even though they might not believe in its principles, versus someone who's an authentic voice that we might see post-2010?
Well, that's a very difficult thing to do because sometimes you can't always judge them based on their actions. If they're new to politics, you have to be vigilant and ask a lot of tough questions. But ultimately, you can get them to sign on to the Contract from America. You can get them to talk the talk. But to get them to walk the walk, you have to stay organized. You have to be vigilant on the day after the election. And I think that's the true test of the Tea Party mettle coming forward.
Is one of the tough questions, is this all just a throwback to the John Birch Society, which had its roots in the neo-Nazi party?
I read that in the paper, but having been to thousands of Tea Parties, and I feel like I'm a Tea Partier myself, I don't see that tradition at all. I see going back to the founders. I see going back to free market economics, and I see this decentralization available on the internet where people are reading healthcare bills for themselves. But I see no link to the John Birch Society whatsoever.
Matt Kibbe, president of FreedomWorks, co-author of Give Us Liberty, a Tea Party Manifesto, talking about the intellectual underpinnings of a disorganized but very interesting and significant political movement in 2010. Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.